Disappear. There we go. Hi. Hi, everybody. You are listening and watching Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media on all of our platforms. Hey, Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year.
2021. When you see this, it'll be 2021. We're sitting, we don't have to wear masks anymore. We don't have to use sanitizer. Boy, 2020 sucked, didn't it?
Yeah. That's. I don't want to get us censored on any of the social media sites, but we'll go with sucked.
Yeah, okay. All right. Actually, folks, we're taping this in November, so, but you're not going to see it till 2021. And we're still quarantined in place. Anyway, right. Jim and I, this has been a long time coming. Jim and I have the pleasure, distinct pleasure, of dissecting and learning more about Mico Tequila. As you can see, I've had a little bit of Mico. This is a fairly new brand. The owners are out of Playa Vista, California, I believe. And they got a really interesting backstory that we'll get into. But like anything else, we want to taste the juice first. Then we're going to go into the backstory and the details and the stats and stories, as Vin Scully used to say, "Hey, Dodgers."
Hey, and you know, we're, even though this is 2021, we're not far removed from your team winning the World Series.
Yes, that was amazing, and it was. I've got to tell you, LA, boy, what a rough time. Well, every town's had a rough time, but LA particularly. So it was nice to see the Lakers wrap theirs up, and then the Dodgers, and somebody's dreaming about a dual parade. It's a great idea, but not this year.
Yeah, not going to happen. Now. Well, you know, you guys stole LeBron from me out here in Cleveland territory.
I think LeBron stole LeBron.
Well, and, you know, in January, I'm sure this will be a lot more out there than right now. But the LeBron tequila brand is on its way.
Yeah, we hopefully will have an inside on LeBron's Lobo tequila, and they have a mezcal as well. And so when we get that sample, we'll tell you all about the backstory. But for now, this one's got a very interesting story, Mico Tequila. So I poured probably a sizable amount of this Blanco, more than I normally do. And my lighting today, it's midday here for me, so my lighting's not the greatest. But this is really pristine. Jim, I'm really liking the clarity on this tequila. I'm not sure if you all can see that on my screen.
It really is. It's a very clean. I mean, this has got a filtered water quality in terms of looking right through it.
The legs and tiers are very uniform. You notice that? It's got a nice string of pearls.
Yeah.
And then just and it's not clinging so much as just a beautiful, even. Just
it's cascading more than it's clinging to anything.
Yeah. Let's see what we smell here. We're using, of course, the Estazo Jarrito for tequila,
which just got my sense of smell back, and I not COVID positive, thank God. Just, you know, a bad sinus infection, but it scares you.
Jim gave us a scare, folks, but he's cool. He's all right. Wow, this is bright.
It really is. It's got a very nice floral kind of brightness to it. It's a mellow agave, but it's kind of it's almost got a little sweetness on the nose.
And I'm getting a lot of like a lime zest or a citrus, more lime than orange. I'm getting like more, you know, like a grapefruit or lime. But it's really prevalent. It just comes right up to you. You don't even have to. You know, it's not like you have to dig your nose deep into these glasses to do that.
No. And not a ton of alcohol, but that. That floral citrus there is just very, it's not huge, but it's very mellow, but it's nice. It's a kind of a sweet florally citrus nose.
I generally say it's a lime zest, but it could even be like blossoms, like a lime blossom.
Like a citrus blossom almost.
Yeah. It's almost like a springtime or something. We have a, here in Southern California, in the backyard of this house, there's a combination orange and lemon tree. And when it blooms, it's just very fragrant. Let's put it that way.
You could wash the clothes in this. They would smell very, very nice.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not, to be fair, my bottle is open. It had been open. I think Jim just broke the seal on his, but
yeah.
No alcohol, and right down in the center, just nothing. I mean, if you're not getting it, and you just popped the cork on it, and I'm not getting it, and my bottle's been open for like a couple of weeks already. I say, let's try this and see what we get.
Why not?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That same kind of sweet citrus is there.
Mm-hmm.
Almost on par with the agave is that sweet citrus. That it's a compliment to it, though.
Yeah, I noticed that there was like a baked agave, and I'm not sure what their process is. We didn't get received. Honestly, we didn't get any POS material, a point of sale, or a fact sheet. The way we found these folks and Miko was that they were written up in an article in a magazine. And that's how I went looking for them, and I found them. And I really, this has got an old school aroma and flavor profile. I mean, I want to say I got baked agave as opposed to cooked agave. So like I say, I'm not sure what their process is. I'm not sure if they're using a brick oven, or if they're using an autoclave.
Right. But, you know, nothing stands out in terms of one flavor dominating the others. I get that floral, citrus sweet,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of that baked agave, a little bit of pepper on the finish.
I was going to ask you, did you get any pepper? Because I normally get pepper like at the sides and the rear of my palate. What I am getting, I'm getting a medium to long finish. I've only had
a very long finish for me. Long finish, and the pepper was a little bit more on the back of my palate. But it's that upfront, citrus sweet that really is makes this. I think it's very smooth. It's got a nice long finish. There is nothing. This would be a great entry level tequila. Not that I'm saying that this juice is in any way entry level in terms of the product, but somebody who wanted to get into, you know, have a sip of tequila rather than a college shot, as I call it.
Right.
This would be one that would be very easy for them to take down and be able to get those flavor profiles and not have any bite or burn of any kind. But very good.
You know, Here's my take on this thing. I'm getting for a Blanco, and it's an 80 proof Blanco. Okay, so we're not talking about high proof, but it's got a lot of character, and I'm thinking that this would stand up. Of course, it'd stand up to your cocktails, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I think because and I think it's more traditional, and I'll tell you why when we get to the backstory, because I think it would hold up in like a really nice Paloma. I think it would hold up to a more traditional, even a tequila and soda. I know those are really popular right now in RTDs and ready to drinks. They are right. The ready to drink category just blew up. Jim and I had tasted several during 2020, some good, some meh. But I think this one, like a tequila and soda, and honestly, I sip mine neat all the time.
Right.
So, but I wouldn't be opposed to anybody who would, I think the character would stand up even if you dropped an ice cube in it or something like that, or have it on ice. I think the character is bold enough to stand up to, you know, the traditional cocktails. that are out there.
Right. And I think you're right about the Paloma or the Soda, where this doesn't need much except a little bit of effervescence and a splash of actual citrus.
Yeah, yeah.
To really make it stand out.
Yeah, maybe a little sprig of zest or something, you know, a lime. Yeah.
I mean, even a squeeze of grapefruit and just a splash of soda on top of it is fine on this, I think.
Yeah.
Because that natural, there's a natural sweetness to this that is just kind of, it's not sugary. It's just, it's got that little bit of floral sweetness to it that I think a dash of tangy zest of a lime or a grapefruit would kind of offset that and be really just nice by itself. Very good.
Let me get into the backstory really quickly. We'll give you the ins and outs. Okay, so I don't have my gnome list up, and I should, but this is, of course, 40 ABV. It's 80 proof. They call this a small batch production, and it is gnome 1107. Oh, that's why. 1107. I should bring up my gnome list. But let me tell you the backstory. The way I found them is these folks, let me give you their names, so bear with me. I've got the article up on my screen here, and I think Jim does too. This comes from a family originally from Fiji, okay? This is from Subir Singh, and I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. And his father, AJ, they own Miko Tequila. It turns out AJ is an old madman tequila guy. I guess what had happened was, I'll paraphrase the story, okay? The Cinch family emigrated from Fiji in the early 80s, and Subir's father, Ahendra, or AJ Singh, found himself working in LA with, you know, $1,500 to his name. As Subir tells it, after working his way up as a CPA, AJ was approached by Martin Crowley. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you folks, it's because Martin Crowley was the partner of John Paul DeJoria, the owners of Patron. And for those of you who don't know much about Martin Crowley, you can read our review of The Patron Way by Martin Crowley's ex-girlfriend who with Martin was responsible for Patron. Anyway, Martin asked, he's the co-founder of Patron, and asked him to help bring production of Patron's tequila in-house. So AJ moves to Guadalajara, becomes an executive with the growing Patron empire, and put him on a path to become the king, obviously the king of modern upscale tequila. And at the same time, the Singh family became friends with the Nunez family. AJ left Patron in 2008. And started working on Miko Spirits. And I guess it became established in, 2015, I think. The shock was that there are a lot of tequilas out there, but, you know, it's not this whole, they understand the business because they come from the business and they know it's not a slam dunk. But, I guess the Singh family, the Nunez family, had worked together for so long that they decided to come up with, you know, their own tequila. And it turns out that they have a female master distiller or mistress distiller, I guess. I don't know. And her name is Karina Rojo. So she is the master distiller and one of the few, and I will tell you, one of the few female master distillers in Jalisco. And we have several in our book, Babes to Boss Ladies, that you can read about. I desperately want to interview this whole family because what a great story. You know, from being immigrants to starting their own tequila.
Yeah, working your way up through that kind of, that kind of production facility and becoming. I looked up your 1107 gnome.
Yes, and they are.
You and I have tasted together Aguila tequila.
Yes.
Don Benito.
Uh-huh.
Trumba.
Trumba comes from there. So
1937.
Oh, okay.
Papa Bueno.
There's some very decent brands that are coming out of there.
And El Viejito.
El Viejito. Yes, that's the distillery.
And Don Quixote.
Yeah, El Viejito was also responsible for, at one time, probably with the biggest explosion of Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo used to be produced here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cabo Wabo had a couple of iterations in different distilleries. And that was I think that one was the one that actually got it to the point where it was eventually sold. It was, you know, it was the finishing crown jewel of what, you know, what they could accomplish before Sammy turned it over and made it a tidy profit. And now Sammy's doing his other projects, and he's back with, he's got a co-brand back at El Viejito. So it says a lot. I think El Viejito cleaned up its act a long time ago. So anyway, that's where this brand comes from. And I think, Jim, you'll agree with me. This has got to be a solid brand of promise.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is you could sip this neat. You could have this in a cocktail. I would absolutely put that up for this.
Absolutely. I think it'll stand up. It's got some really good character. And see, that's what I'm beginning to see with some wonderful female women master distillers who it seems, you know, we've pigeonholed women as, well, a lot of them want them smooth. But I got to tell you, some of the tequilas with the most character come from women-owned brands. You and I tasted Fino, I think. Fino Tequila, they're out of Illinois. If I'm not mistaken, it was with you and me. That's a female-owned brand. They're out of Chicago, I think. And, you know, it seems like more and more of these ladies who are coming into the business are really not looking for the sweet stuff. They're looking for something with some character, some punch.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that. I'm cool with that, man. That's awesome.
And this is smooth, but it is smooth with plenty of complexity in it.
Yes.
In a way that, you know, again, an entry-level tequila person could sip this and not have any bite or burn that they'd associate with the college shot.
Yep.
But there's going to be flavor there for them to be able to taste and go through the whole way across their palate. So it's got complexity, but it's just also got a nice, clean, smooth, floral sweetness to it that makes it very approachable.
Well, it's also, I think to sum it all up, it's very, it's balanced. You know, there's some Blancos, it just depends on how you get them and how you make them. Some of them are very soft. Some of them have a nice long finish or are much more aggressive. This one's, I think you'll agree with me. This one's really balanced.
Yeah.
That finish, medium to long. You don't even expect it because of when at the intake, it's not tame, but there's lots there. There's a lot going on.
And when you don't feel like that kind of, it's not so heavy or forceful on the front that you think the finish is going to be that long, but it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice and easy on the front of your palate, but it just lasts the whole way through. So
yeah,
I like it.
I like it too. I think Brand of Promise nominee in that Blanco category for 2021. That's our take on Mico Tequila, the Blanco. But hang in there with us because we're going to go through the entire line and wait till we tell you what happens with the Reposado and the Viejo. That's going to be interesting for you folks. But that's our take on Mico Blanco. You have been watching and listening to Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media on all of our platforms. I'm Mike Morales here in the heart of the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California. That gentleman out there is
Jim Johnston in Youngstown, Ohio.
And again, whatever you're doing, please subscribe. If you're listening to us on Spotify or wherever you download your podcast, subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube, hey, man, hit that notification, but that subscribe button, the notification bell, like the video. And whatever you do, tomar sabiamente.
Sip wisely.